We'll begin tonight in 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to conclude the encouragement with Hezekiah tonight. From time to time as we go into Josiah, obviously the Lord will bring some things that we'll see as the double portion will be so much more magnified in King Josiah. But we come to the end of Hezekiah's life. And what we come to at the end of Hezekiah's life is a failure. As a matter of fact, a pretty large failure. And again, right before the end of his life, right before he goes to see the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, that was very similar to King David, another perfect heart king. Do you know he numbered the people pretty much 2-3 years before he went to be with the Lord? Now, aren't you thankful for but God? Amen. Praise the Lord. But God. See, whether it was David, whether it was Hezekiah, grace's choice will never be denied its overcoming place. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm grateful to God for these things, brothers and sisters, and I believe you are too, because we're just a bunch of vessels of mercy. You know, those people that, well, you must be doing something if you're always talking about mercy. You know it. And let your mind run. Because every bit of all of sin in this world is all capable right here in this sinful flesh. So go at it. Use your imagination. Whatever you want to think, whatever. All I can tell you, but God, who is rich in mercy. And he is so rich in mercy. And in his great love wherewith, and put your name right there with, he loves me, loves you. Let me tell you something. I know I didn't deserve a thing. I know I don't deserve a thing. But there's something about God and his grace and his choice. He gave me everything. And thanks be to God. He holds it. He keeps it. Praise his name. And I thank the Lord that, you know, even though there's lots of issues in this head, there's lots of things that I'm very capable of doing that would just be wrong, I'm pretty much occupied with thinking about him and his grace and mercy to me. It's amazing. I don't have as much time for that other stuff. I know it's all there. I ain't going to change this flesh. But I thank God my attention, praise God, my fellowship, praise God, the life that I now live, the new man, is living the faith of the Son of God. Praise his name. So, again, whether it was David, whether it was Hezekiah, grace's choice will never be denied its overcoming place. No matter how much we get tipped, and sometimes we can get tipped pretty good. You can get hit by a wave that you think, oh no, but he keeps us from falling. God always keeps his perfect heart kings. He always keeps his perfect heart kings. Because you'll never get to the perfect heart if he hasn't done all the keeping. You understand that? Because it's all grace. And you get it. You get it. And all that grace has made you a perfect hearted king. So rest, kings. Amen. Just rest and thank the Lord. So, what happens here? Pride gets him. I know we don't know anything about that, do we? But pride gets the best of Hezekiah. And what we're going to read here in just a second is he foolishly shows all his treasures to ungodly ones, the Babylonians. And it was because he got puffed up. And he began to show and to reveal, matter of fact, everything that he had to ones that weren't of like precious faith. He brought them in to show them, and they would have nothing to do with that. It wasn't anything spiritual, as you'll see. His motivation was he wanted to puff up and magnify himself. All right? Let's read from verses 12 to 18 of 2 Kings chapter 20. At that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? Could you imagine the prophet coming in there? What are these guys doing here? Huh? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, well, they come from a far country, even Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered and said, all the things that are mine, they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day will come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons, they shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. We're going to stop right there. Casting your pearl among swine is never wise. And that's the truth. We can have a lot of different motivations. I pray that the Spirit always give me utterance. I pray that I never go in my own strength, in a sense, or even in pride or whatever it would be, giving out with the Lord the treasures of God that he's given to me. And brothers and sisters, we need to take to heart the glory and the grace of the Lord that he's bestowed upon us. And let me tell you something, the treasure that God has with you, oftentimes he wants just to have it with you and him. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if you have faith, have it to yourself. And I want to talk about that just for a second. The pride that Hezekiah really had at this time wasn't his riches and his power. That wasn't it. The pride that he had was from his miraculous healing. It was. He was healed from death. And it's interesting, brothers and sisters, to think God gives us such beautiful faith that the Lord is the one that gives us this. But yet, it can turn to pride if we let it. The word of God told Paul, he said, Paul, with the things that have been revealed to you, with the knowledge, which all the things that I've shown you, brother, if I don't send a messenger of Satan to buffet you, to beat on you with that thorn, you would have been puffed up, son. You would have missed it. That perfect heart would have been completely ruined. I thank God that I really do see that in the same way Hezekiah was genuinely given this. Because Hezekiah, just like we do, brothers and sisters, we always need more humbleness. And we humble ourselves before the Lord, but the Lord is the one that brings the humility to our lives. And he does it with events like this. Don't think that this was any light thing to Hezekiah. You know it hurt this man. We're going to read a few things. We know that this was severe in what God had said. But I think about this. I've known times where people have been so miraculously healed of the Lord. And then they think that there's something because they were healed of the Lord. I was thinking of precious Judy. You know, she's still having that situation with her elbow. The Lord just continued to come in and he's doing a mighty work there. The joy of the Lord that's her strength that's keeping her through this trial. It's precious. And I can go through this whole assembly right here. Everything you've been through, honeys, it's marvelous. It encourages me. I thank God. Now let me tell you something. As I told you on Sunday, I've had things happen to me, and let me tell you something. I've been hurt. I've been very sick. I've been sick unto death. I've had that infection in my body 2 times. The Lord did stop that, and it was a miracle. But you know, the Lord could have prevented it from ever even hitting my body. Now, I fell and I hit my arm the other day, and I told you, and I thought about sweet Judy. I said, well, Lord, thank you for, you know, preventing that from me. But I thank God for what he's working in my sister Judy and her family, and I'm no better and no greater in faith than she is. God determined in these different events. Brothers and sisters, we're but a step from us and death. Do you get that? Praise the Lord. And if you get healed, it wasn't your great faith that healed you. It was the Lord that healed you. Amen. Praise God. And it was the mercy of the Lord that brought the healing. Amen. And so thanks be to God, it's him. By the grace of God, don't let us get puffed up. Now, Hezekiah had walked before the Lord in his truth. And Hezekiah said that to God. We read that about when he was sick last week. He said, Lord, I've walked before you. I've followed your ways. I want you to heal me. And the Lord did. But I want you to know this. Just as God told Israel, just as God tells us, I didn't choose you. I didn't choose you because you were great in number. I didn't choose you to heal you even because you obeyed. I chose you because I love you. Everything he does with us is because of mercy. Mercy. That's it. Giving you the exact extreme opposite of what you deserve. Everything. Everything. Thanks be to God. If you ever even get to the place to trust God, it had to be mercy to get you to the place to trust God. For us to go on, brothers and sisters, it's just mercy. It's not because we got better. It's because his mercy is so immense. Now, that should give you hope. And I really believe, brothers and sisters, that is really the beginning of so much failure in our life, is when we take credit for anything spiritually that has happened in our life. Anything. Anything. And yet, you think about how sad we can be so quick to walk around with some type of a badge that we think we got because we're so good or religious or holy or you're submitting, whatever it may be. By the grace of God, let us want to magnify him. Amen. Now, I think we can say this together, and I say this for myself. I thank the Lord. I do walk with the Lord. I thank the Lord that I love his truth. It's the love of my life. I thank God for that. But none of that is because of me. I know that. It's him. He did the work. He brought me here tonight to preach the word to you. He was the one that deemed that. Praise God. He brought you here tonight to hear the word preached to you tonight. He does everything. Everything. He's brought us all the way. In a sense, and I'm telling you the truth, and I thank God for this. I had nothing to do with this because the word of God tells me I can't do a thing. And he got me out of the way right at the beginning because I died. And now Christ lives in me. See, he got that out of the way. And I don't know how somebody could tell you that you can't do anything any more clearly than when they tell you, you're dead. You're dead. You know, think, I mean, I'm not trying to be graphic, but, let's drag a corpse up here and go ahead, do something. Come on. Right. It's dead. It's over. But yet we live. And not just live, by the grace of God, we're living abundantly because we have his life. And if you really think through that, just come on. It does have to be the mind of Christ. But what can you do? You can't, because in a sense, I died. So, in a sense, that doesn't even exist because it's dead. But yet I do live, and I got a new life. And praise God that Jesus lives in me. It's so sweet. It's so perfect. It's so Jesus. And that's why I thank the Lord that's what gives us hope always. That's our gladness. That's our joy. That's our peace in believing him for his keeping and believing him for everything. Amen? Is there anything you don't believe the Lord for? If there is, believe him. Really. You know, no matter what it is, any need we would ever have, but especially our spiritual growth, especially that, especially when we're having a hard time, especially when we believe that we are in the desert of deserts, that I don't have, as the psalmist, he even said, Lord, I don't even think I have a peep of praise coming out right now, but I'm still believing you for your keeping. That's the beautiful thing about, if you read the Psalms, it can get bad for a few verses, but it always turns pretty quick. David gets pretty melancholy, and then, whoo, it's a high note, you know? And because it's the mercy of the Lord. And that's the perfect heart king. But remember who gave you the perfect heart. Amen. I thank the Lord. I can tell you, I can testify, I don't rely on myself. I can't. I tried it. It doesn't work. The only thing that I can encourage myself in is in the Lord, which is just what went on. It's all him. It's all his life. That's in the Lord. Now, God preserves the perfect heart. Now, remember that. God preserves the perfect heart. It's not about perfect actions. That's never going to happen. No, it's a perfect heart that he's after. Now, turn on over to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And let's read verse 24. And it says there, in those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord. And he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. And remember, we talked about that. He brought the shadow of the sun back. All right? But Hezekiah, now look at this. Even though that great healing happened, again, this is 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 24. Now we're in verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. How quickly we can forget. And that's a truth, amen? Think about that for anything in your life, brothers and sisters. Think about the trial that you're in right now. Think about the deep trial that you're in right now. It's no different than any other trial. God appointed it for you. God's in it with you. And God meant it for your good. And he has already made the way of escape. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So right there, we're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us. Because that's all because of love that he's going to do that. I also, in that, need to have a wonderful memory about one thing, the faithfulness of God. I need to continue to always remind myself. And that's why I thank the Lord. I know your victories. I also know your down settings, which is your victory. Praise God. Because we had to go through that to get to where that next pasture or whatever he was going to show us. Praise the Lord. So I thank God so richly that, again, he's the one that causes us, don't forget, count your blessings. And you're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. But do not forget the benefits that you have. David even said that, Lord, help me to remember all thy benefits to me. Praise God. So he said, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him. And upon Judah and Jerusalem. All right. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Isn't that something? Because the Lord came in and touched him. And humbled his heart. Isn't that glorious? Now, but yet here's the critics. And they're going to sit there and say, oh, wait a second. Hezekiah, you know, you're not getting no get out of jail card free. You got to walk around here and you got to tell us you're sorry or whatever you're going to say. I don't know. This man, I'm sure there's you can read it here. You can see it. He was touched. He was hurt. There was remorse. And what he did was he humbled himself before the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. Amen. Praise God. We need to have a tender heart before God. But we also need to know our God. He still loves us. And we still need to trust our Lord in the respect that we owe to him, because whom much is given, much is required. Respect his grace. Respect the mercy of the Lord. I gave it to you. I'm the keeper of it. I'll sustain you. Thanks be to God. See, the enemy wants you to go moping around and feeling bad and staying down, and little Christians want you to stay right there too. That's the truth. The spiritual, what they want you to do is get up. Come on. We're done with that. I thank God. I was just saying to a brother, and I appreciated the Lord encouraging my heart with this. Brothers and sisters, we're fighting the war, the warfare, praise the Lord, the greatest fight there could ever be, the good fight of faith. And we're fighting the most holy faith. We're fighting the faith, praise God, in Paul's gospel. Amen, amen. And it's the most treacherous battle. It's a battle that doesn't pause. There's no pauses in this one. It's constant. It's intense. But praise be to the Lord. You know what? I endure hardness as a good soldier, but I thank God there's a company here. Oh, yeah, there is. And what I was saying to brother, I said, you know, sometimes we don't have time for lunch. Sometimes we might not even have a lot of natural things that we hang out together or anything like that. But I'll tell you one thing. If I'm getting in a foxhole, I want you. I want you. The foxhole for Paul's gospel, I want you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. You know that, don't you? Because you know what? I know you got eternal life, so you ain't going to die. So, oh, what I got to fight with. Oh, the mighty men that I'm part of. Oh, my goodness. We can't lose. And we ain't going to quit, because this is it. Where else are we going to go? This is our calling. This is who we are. This is what we do. Praise be to God. And I love that. I was thinking about that, you know, with your brother. And, you know, you think about all the service people, the servicemen that come together and all of that. They come from all walks of life. They might fuss and fight and all that, and the barracks and everything like that. Man, when that battle's hitting, let me tell you, I got your back, you got mine. This is it. This is the brotherhood. No one's left behind here. We're going in. We're one. How much more so? How much more so? Praise God. This is real. This is real. But see, the critics will sit there and they'll say, well, he cared about himself, you know. And I'm sure they didn't like this when they said, well, you know what? The judgment's not going to come upon you, and the judgment's not going to come upon the people, because God loves you so much, he's going to spare you all from this. I want you to hear what he said. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 20. This will grab you. And you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it with mercy, them that are merciful, or you can look at it with that condemnation of a self-righteous heart. And I know which one you want. So let's go at it. So we left off in verse 18. So 2 Kings chapter 20. We left off in verse 18. I'll read it again. And he says to Hezekiah, your sons are going to be taken away to Babylon. They're going to be made eunuchs in the palace. That transformation is not a really, that's not a good way to go. Here's Hezekiah's response. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Now, that's a tough one for some people. Because I know that the self-righteous one is going to say, well, he was just thinking of himself. How dare that guy? How could he be like that? Now, I'll tell you what. It truly is about your life. And it is about your lifetime. And I'll tell you what it's about. It's about peace and truth in your lifetime. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's the truth. That's the testimony. The critics may say that he was self-centered. The critics may say, well, see, he was so self-centered, that's why his son Manasseh was such a wicked guy, because Hezekiah was so self-consumed. And I'm telling you, there are pastors and teachers that will tell you just that, that do and have accepted Christ as their Savior. But I want to ask you something. Didn't the Word of God tell us that Hezekiah trusted God more than any king of Judah before or after him? Any. Now come on. Yes, he did. And he did. That's what the Lord said about this. Well, let me tell you something. Instead of laying Manasseh, meaning that was his son, his wicked son, instead of laying the fault upon him that his son was wicked for that, I would say this. If his children didn't take to heart that their dad trusted and saw their dad trusting God more than any other king, then I have to tell you something. That's on their kids. That's on their kids. See, I've seen saints, and I'm going to tell you this. I've seen saints talk and preach the ears off their kids. I've seen it. I've seen them just preach to them and just talk the ear off of them and all that. Yet those parents live such a cold, loveless, critical life. The greatest thing you could ever do is to encourage your child with a testimony of the Lord in your life. The testimony of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. All the things that Jesus is. The Word of God says and even warns us, don't provoke your child to wrath. That doesn't mean that you let him get away with everything. That's not it at all. But when you chasten, if you really chasten as the Lord does, you chasten in love. There's correction. We did not spare the rod. But I'll tell you one thing. The kids knew always, constantly, that we loved them. And loved them more than anything. And all we wanted was that benefit of God in their life. But when we're cold and we're just going to, you know, ostracize and things like that as parents, that's not God's love. And it's not. And you will not get that harvest. You just won't. And by the way, I'll say it, as the Lord showed grace to Hezekiah, you saw how the Lord showed grace to Hezekiah, huh? God was so good to Hezekiah all the time, and then Hezekiah gets prideful. God said, I don't want anything to do with him. He didn't do that, did he? No. Oh, no, he didn't. Matter of fact, he even loved him the more. We're going to see how much he loved him. But it's so beautiful. Well, shoot, they had a whole tribute about him, about trusting God more than any king before or after him. The Lord didn't have to go back and say, well, wait a second, I made a mistake in my word, now I got to change it. No. That's what a perfect heart king is. God keeps the perfect heart. God brings the humbleness. God knows what's going to come forth, because whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. This wasn't on the fly with Hezekiah. This isn't on the fly with you, honeys. I don't know what my children will grow up to be. I've committed them to the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord for the grace of God with them, just like I do with you. And I believe they're on the mark for the prize for the high calling of God. But I've got to be on that for me. I know the greatest thing I could do for your life is the greatest thing I do for my kid's life. I got to run to win. And by the grace of God, I got to run harder. more undeterred, less distracted all the time. And he's sharpening me. Oh, praise God, even as a pastor. I just want to be about my Father's business. That's it. I don't got time for anything else. And I'll tell you what, my brethren, you don't either. You really don't. There's things that the Lord has us to do in life and different things like that. Don't miss the best part. Don't miss it. Don't hang it up for anything. Don't neglect it for even a minute. By the grace of God, Lord, don't let my eye to slumber or my hands to fold. Don't let me get complacent with this. Let me be on fire. Now, here's what's so beautiful about the grace that was shown to Hezekiah. Maybe it was that failure and then the grace that the Lord brought to Hezekiah that actually changed Manasseh's heart to turn to God at the end. See, he had a very wicked son. His name is Manasseh. Okay, well, let's read about him here, all right? We'll read on. Go over to 2 Chronicles, and let's go to chapter 33. Now, this is Hezekiah's son. And let's just read verses 1 and 2, and this will tell you about him. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Double grace. But let's think about this double grace. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen. He was just like the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. All right? So he went bad right away. Even from a young person. This is a wicked path. All right? But let's think. He didn't pay attention at all to how his father trusted the Lord more than any king. Not for a long time in his life. Maybe he even enjoyed seeing his father make that big mistake towards the end of his life. He was so wicked. Ah, look at my dad. He got proud. Huh? But then he saw his dad humble himself. He saw the Lord give him grace. Maybe. I think maybe that's right, because I want you to jump over to verse 11. So he'd been wicked most all of his life, this Manasseh. He said, because of that wickedness, here's what the Lord does. Wherefore the Lord brought unto them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, bound him with feathers, and carried him to Babylon. So he was done. And when he was in affliction, what does he do? He besought the Lord his God, humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. See, even divinely, God never took his reigning away. He brought him into his kingdom. It was always there. He just needed to believe God. This is like the prodigal. Boom. Faith brought me back immediately. So isn't that glorious? It says, and he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. I love that. He prayed unto God. He was entreated of him. He heard his supplication. He brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now, after all the things that Manasseh had done, just like the heathen, tearing down all the things of God, ripping out all the altars and bringing in all the idols, this guy did that. And then, you know what? He gets his tail in a sling. He's done. Oh, they always turn to Jesus when they're in prison. I remember that guy saying that to me, going in there to see those prisoners. All I said to him was right back, well, at least they found him. Just stared at him, never said another word to me. I knew that guy was a devil. He was just trying to, just a jab. Let me tell you something. There's some coals of fire. So he'd done all that. But Manasseh knew that the Lord, He was God. Now look at verse 14. Now after this, this is Manasseh, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed it about Ophel and raised it up a very great height, put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord. All those things that he did, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed thereupon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. But see, what are we looking for, brothers and sisters? I mean, really, what are we looking for? I want to look for glory. I by the grace of God, I thank God to look for a good report and look for the mercy of the Lord. That's what I see. That's what I see from Hezekiah humbling himself before the Lord. I don't see that that was the reason and the trigger of Hezekiah failing, getting prideful, that sent Manasseh on a bad track. You're never going to blame anybody. We're without excuse. And that's the truth. It doesn't matter who we are. That blood that flowed, there is no excuse. That testimony that came out from Hezekiah's life was immense. It was incredible. That boy had to see all those things that happened. But thanks be to God, he saw one thing that happened, and I know he did. He saw his dad humble his heart. And the Lord touched him. And I'm confident, and I thank God for it, that that man knew, I need to turn to God. God is still able. God will still hear me. That's what he heard. That's what he heard. And I thank the Lord. The word of the Lord does not return void unto him. And you continue by the grace of God, go after the Lord, and especially in your failures, go after God. That'll be the greatest testimony witness there could ever be. But by the grace of God, take it from the Lord. And humble yourself. Humble myself before God. I can testify, and I know that my sons would agree. Some of the hardest times of Dad's life, where Dad didn't make the right decision, didn't respond the right way, but thanks for the working of the love of Christ in my life, that I believe was more powerful than maybe most any other times in my life with my kids. And the reason that that's affecting them now is because they're men. Now you get it. It's not easy. A lot of things come at you. A lot of things come at you quick. And especially as you become parents and all those things. God just continued to, Lord, throttle me down a little bit. Let me be quick to hear and slow to speak. How many times I got myself in trouble speaking a little bit too fast. But saints, as we wrap this up tonight, it's the coldness of heart and the lack of mercy that will knock you out of the race. That's what'll do it. Really. We're all going to have failure. We're all going to come up short. It's not going to only happen once. It's going to happen a lot of times. The difference of the perfect-hearted kings is their perfect heart is trusting in the mercy of the Lord. And I love Hezekiah's heart. Remember how the Lord brought that out for us? The reason that he established and reestablished the temple, and the very first thing, and everything was about, it was about the worship, right? And getting the people to worship the Lord. His love was for his brothers and sisters in the Lord. He loved them the same. He wanted to participate that together. And isn't that beautiful how the Lord, when he restored and said to Hezekiah, I'm not going to have this come to pass upon you or the people during your lifetime. I just think that's so beautiful because they were all in it together. And did you notice that about, and I will say, sweet Manasseh, when the Lord again embraced him and said, look, I've just been waiting for you, son. I've never left you. And here you are with me. And what did he do? He brought all of Judah and commanded them, we're going to serve the Lord together. That's the heart of the perfect heart king. And I pray that we understand that, brothers and sisters. And I've seen it too. And God help any of us from being that way. Well, I don't need them. I'm just going to go on my own. I can win God's best. I know this. I don't need to gather. Oh, yes, you do. That's where the heart of a perfect heart king is fostered. That's where love shed abroad is grown. The geyser comes forth. That's where it's truly exercised. That's where God proves us. And that is the truth. We're tightly fit and compacted together. We're in the foxhole. We may have moments and all of that, but I'll tell you one thing. To win the fight, there isn't anything else. There isn't anything else by the grace of God truly that we enjoy more, that we know the privilege to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know, you're the most privileged person there's ever, 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 ever been. You're holding the crown of to be glorified with your spouse, very God of very God. Very God of very God. That faith could be made sight tonight. That's who we are. We hold the crown, the faith, praise God, to rule and reign jointly with I am that I am. That's who we are. That's the love and the passion that God has, yes, predestinated us to have, predestinated us to go on for. And I thank Jesus with everything that's within me. I get it. That by the grace of God, to win this, I do need you. I need you. I need to be in that foxhole with you. Not in a different foxhole, because we only got one. In that one. And we're all tightly compacted. And we're fit together. And it's perfect. And it's glorious. And we have one voice and one praise and one faith and one hope. We just have one thing, this one thing we do. Right? We run to win. That's it. We press toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what this beautiful, perfect-hearted king is. Without that mercy, without that love, without that grace, brothers and sisters, we'll never be clothed with all the riches of his glory. You won't have that. Perfect heart kings magnify the mercy and grace of God like none other. They magnify it all the time. David, the benchmark king, no one magnified mercy like that brother. No one spoke of mercy. No one praised God for mercy. No one used the word mercy like that man did. Everything about his life was that mercy. He knew that that held him from the moment that he was there with those sheep as a little guy, tearing up bears and tearing up lions. He knew that wasn't him. That was impossible. It had to be the mercy of the Lord. You're bringing me exactly the extreme opposite of what I am, what I deserve. I should be torn up here, but God. I should be defeated from Goliath, but God. And then it trained in his heart and trained in his heart. And then when he began to rule, oh, by the grace of God, I failed so miserably. I murdered my mighty man. I put him on the front line. I took his wife. Nathan the prophet comes to me and says, you're the man. But God. Brothers and sisters, he's given us the exact extreme opposite of what we deserve every moment of our life. And stay right there. Pray for me to stay right there. Mercy gonna win this. And grace is goddess. Last thing. The burial. This will just take a minute. But you got to go out with the 21 gun salute? Is that right? 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Let's read 33. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchers of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did honor at his death, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. The chiefest, that's the highest. It's the most elevated. It's the best place. The rank of the full overcomers, it's so glorious. Hallelujah. That's where he was put. That's the place that he always had. And thanks be to God, and all of Judah praised him. They did. They gave him glory. And God willing, we'll go on to Josiah. And you talk about a double portion all the way. Because Hezekiah so magnificently has typed and shadowed all of those full overcomers of the Old Testament. And we'll see more and more through now as we turn to Josiah. We'll see he got a double portion pretty much in everything he receives and what the Lord says about his life. And that's us. We got a better thing. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.